Welcome to the Managed Tools Podcast. Today's topic, the MySpace cast, part one of two. Hi everyone, this is Mike. Welcome back to Manager Tools. If you're one of our younger listeners, members, or premium subscribers with less than, say, 5 years in the workforce, chances are that you have a MySpace or Facebook page. You stay in touch with friends, let people know what you're doing, share photos, really just put yourself out there. And you may have trouble too. Or you're a manager with one of those people working for you, and you may have trouble too. Today, we're going to learn how to get out of this trouble. Here we go. So speaking of MySpace, didn't you say that Kate has a MySpace page or Facebook or one of those two?
I want to say it's Facebook because it started while she was at Tulane Facebook is more college. It started out college. But I don't mind it a bit at all now.
I take it based upon some of the our previous conversations that you've given her some guidance.
previous conversations. Well said. I gave her some feedback. I peeked over her shoulder and, you know, I'm thinking about her moving on to the professional phase of her life. And it immediately hit me that it was just like so many other Facebook pages with pictures and friends and everything and a dark background and so on. And I think there was a part that was white writing on black or something. And I just thought I had the response after all my years of seeing people professionally. She's my daughter. I know that. But she's in a very high visibility part of her life doing interviewing and so on. This was several months ago. I said, let me talk to you about that. And I showed her a Wall Street Journal article about recruiters looking at them. And I told her about it. And now it's great.
Yeah. Unless folks think that we're, you know, anti-Facebook or anti-MySpace, et cetera.
Yeah,
we've got to admit here, we like the concept of of them. And we think that, you know, MySpace and Facebook and Friendster and all the rest of them are great in a lot of ways. And we're going to mention at least a couple of the benefits here in this cast. And unfortunately, there are so many ways that they can be negative rather than positive in your career.
Right.
We're going to have to cover those as well.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you something real quick. We're going to talk about professional. You alluded to the fact that we're going to talk about positives. We're also going to talk about professional sites. LinkedIn comes to mind.
Right.
Do you remember a year or so ago, maybe two? I don't remember how long ago it was. Maybe it was just 6 months ago. It's been longer than that, saying something around the likes of, I'm not a big fan of LinkedIn. And that was because at the time I was approaching my work with Control Shift K and so on. And, you know, I used Outlook, to control my contacts kind of thing. I predicted it wouldn't be terribly successful, although I'm not a good predictor of trends. We know that. Did you see it as being as big as it is now on the professional side? Cause it's clearly the 900 pound gorilla on the professional side. Did you see that coming? I did not, but now I have a completely different take on it than I did before.
I thought it'd get much bigger, and I'm not surprised about how big it's gotten. Although to some extent, I don't think it's really realized its true potential. I mean, I see a lot of activity, but the question, I don't talk to a lot of people that have gotten a lot of value out of it. They get the promise of value in the future, but they're not realizing that.
And they
today.
Get some organizational value too, right? I mean, think of it this way. If they're not doing anything, if they're not keeping their contacts anywhere other than in their cell phone, then the fact that they have a richer base of information about their contacts, and the organizational nature, they know where they all are, that's a good thing. I mean, it's a first step anyway.
But you're
saying there's something else. There's a promise of more that people buy into.
Yeah, I think there's a promise of more. The whole social network and being able to tap into the the creative intelligence of that network. And right. I don't think folks have figured that out. So I agree with you. And for me, frankly, that has been its greatest values. It's allowed me to reestablish contacts with folks I've known in the past who I've lost contact with. They saw me on LinkedIn, or they saw me on Facebook, or they saw me wherever, and they linked me in. And so now I have their contact information, and I'm more likely to have a real relationship with them, which means talk on the phone, meet for lunch, et cetera.
You've told me a couple of times about former associates that, I mean, you said, the guy contacted me on LinkedIn. He sent me a message or what have you.
And
I don't want to make the, it's clearly this cast not about LinkedIn, but I realized, we hadn't really formally talked about that, about the growth of it and the change of it and so on. So that's good. That's good. You mentioned the negatives, and we are going to talk about the positives of social networking sites, but I do worry when we talk about stuff like this, because I think there are a lot of people in the world that latch onto things that are new. And I worry that sometimes I personally sound a little curmudgeonly about certain things, like, be careful.
Right. You're the John Dvorak of management.
Oh my, no, please don't say no. You know what? When I think about that, I have to tell you, I think part of that is because people's definition of management is what is current, is what is popular. And I just disagree with that. You and I agree that management is something other than what people think it is. And if you can't agree on the common term, then fundamentally it's different. And so when people behave based on their definition of management, and it makes sense to them that they're doing this thing that they're doing, and we have a completely different view, to us, the paradigm we look at management through makes what they're doing look crazy or wrong or what have you.
Right.
I strive to do better at that. Let me at least say that I have good intentions.
Yeah. Well, I think I speak for both of us here, where despite all the enjoyment folks get out of them, professionally speaking, there are some pitfalls, and we're willing to be a little forceful if it, look, if we have to be forceful to get to help one person avoid a serious mistake regarding how they're perceived professionally, then we're going to do that.
You're totally right. We have read, we have heard personally the stories, recruiters seeing things on people's MySpace and Facebook and Friendster pages that raise questions. And frankly, it doesn't matter how old you are. We know this is more prevalent among younger folks, let's say under the age of 25, but we're not biased against youth at all. But the fact is, as hard as transition processes are, no matter your age, you don't need a controllable, that's the key here, a controllable negative hurting your chances. There are going to be some uncontrollable negatives. If you got a 2.0 GPA, if you loaf through college, that's an uncontrollable negative. It's done. You can't do anything about it. Your MySpace or friend or MySpace or Facebook page or Friendster page is controllable. So.
Right. Hey, you were telling me the other day about one user of the bigger sites. Why don't you share that a little bit?
Yeah. He basically said, this younger person, he said, look, Mark, I hear what you're saying. And he's a smart guy. Intellectually, he got my approach. But he said, look, demographics are in our favor. And he's talking about younger folks who, the conversation had morphed into a discussion about younger people. And I really hadn't intended that. And I said, demographics, he said, demographics are in our favor, dude. He said, we'll always have jobs. The baby boomers are retiring and there's a gap, and we think we're going to get sucked up into the, into opportunities. There are going to be more opportunities. The economy is going to be, strong enough, even if it's weak at times, to give us the opportunities we want. We'll always have jobs. We can afford to be ourselves. We don't have to say there are limited opportunities, and so it's really dog eat dog. And so, therefore, if somebody doesn't like us or our MySpace or Facebook page, that's fine. There are plenty of other opportunities, and somebody will hire me.
Yeah, that's pretty gutsy.
Well, it's interesting. That's kind of what I thought, although I don't think I could have convinced him that that was pretty gutsy, because his paradigm, not wrong, just different, is different than ours, right? I normally would have tried to convince him, but I didn't hear. It just seemed like I wasn't going to be persuasive, because again, we've got that different paradigm thing going on. And people's paradigms are people's paradigms. And the argument that I wanted to use, the competition at the top of the market, right, that for the really great jobs, for the really great careers, for the really narrow, interesting things, there's always 1,000 times more people wanting that opportunity. Whether you look at pro sports, for instance, every 10-year-old wants to be a, you know, a professional football player in Europe or a baseball or football or basketball player in America. And yet the story, of course, is, I'm sorry, unless you're the best kid in your state, the only one, the number one, you're probably not going to get there.
Right. That, the measurement market, of success is not having a job, right?
Yes, exactly. Right. Right. And so, and the competition at the top of the market is such that they can be discerning and they are going to look at things like MySpace and Facebook pages. So
good. Okay. Yeah. So let's try to be persuasive with this cast.
Oh, good. Yeah, so, I wasn't persuasive with this kid, but we need to be doing now. We need to be persuasive.
I know it's a high hurdle to overcome, but let's try.
We'll do our best. Right.
So what's our outline on this one?
Okay, good. Yeah. We've got two major topics today, personal guidance and managerial guidance. And then we've got some subheadings under each. So personal guidance, we're going to cover first. We've got four subheadings, clean it up. A is clean it up. B is there's a lot to like. C is there are more professional options. And D, a recruiter may mention it. That's an interesting one. I've heard enough anecdotal evidence. I want to share some thoughts about that. And then on managerial guidance. And the reason we make the distinction is because anyone who's listening right now can have a Facebook or MySpace page. Fine. We want to help you understand how your social networking habits could affect your career. On the other hand, you also have a role as a manager. What if your people have a Facebook or MySpace page? If you're a manager, the personal guidance still applies to you. But now if you're a manager, we also have some guidance about how you might interact with your directs pages or a candidate's pages if you're interviewing. And so there are two subheadings under managerial guidance, which is A, and this will surprise some people, it's more than okay to look at someone's page, social networking page, and B, it's also okay to draw conclusions.
Okay, so let's just dive right into the personal guidance. And your first point was clean it up. What do you mean by
that? Yeah, look, in one way, I think if we were talking, if the purpose of this cast was just to describe or to characterize or to provide an overview of social networking, it would make more sense to start with, hey, there's a lot to like. You know, there is. But look, as I thought about it, I realized, you know, you and I have talked about this many, many times in the last year or so. The core reason for this cast, based on what we see, the behaviors that exist on these sites, and the feedback, the anecdotal evidence we get, is to urge caution relative to social networking. Despite the benefits of social networking, for most managers, this is our opinion, and most professionals, the common usage, if you use the sites the way everybody else uses them, that common usage can be and often is dangerous to a career. I would not be surprised right now, dude, if over 1,000 of our listeners have information or images or ideas on their pages that would result in some amount and perhaps even significant damage to their careers.
Yeah, I don't doubt that at all. And I think because folks see their MySpace pages or social network as separate from their work.
Yeah.
In fact, they celebrate their work, there is a lack of attention to the possible effects that these sites have on one's work life.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you. We had a conference recently, and Kate mentioned that one of the people's Facebook page or MySpace page had pictures that I needed to see, and she didn't even want to characterize them. And so I went and looked, and there were pictures of this guy drunk. And we'll talk more about that later. And I said, hey, I just told him, I said, hey, dude, I don't know if you know this, but, you know, maybe you don't know it, but I assume you do. And I saw it and I immediately drew a conclusion. And his comment was, he was very great about it. He said, yeah, I got to clean that up. You're right. But it was very clear based on our brief conversation about it that he saw this thing as separate, to your point. And he just, That's just somehow it's separate. It's intellectually, this is going to sound terrible. This is maybe the dark mark, but it's intellectually indefensible to see it as separate at this point. But that said, for those of you who think it's separate, it's not.
But it's not fair though, because I mean your MySpace page is private. I mean, that's what people tell us. Are you disagreeing with me?
Yeah, I'm so sorry. Can I politely disagree, please, sir?
Would you
tolerate some disagreement? I know you're the boss,
you hurt my feelings.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to hurt your feelings. But look, part of the reason we recommend to clean it up is this single premise, folks. It's not private. I can't tell you the number of smart people going, take it a step further. Many of them younger, but some not, who have told me it's private or it's just meant for my friends or I don't tell people at work about it.
Yeah, so maybe if you put up a public page and you invite people to look at it and it's LinkedIn and it sits in RSS feeds and
It's designed for other people to see it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that's not private. I mean, the statement that it's private just makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever.
And I actually think that people know it's not private, but that's their first defense to the issue of maybe you've got something on there that's objectionable or could be objectionable. And look, I don't have any problem to somebody. Let's agree on something here. And maybe you disagree with me. I don't know. You tell me. I don't have any problem who has stuff that might be objectionable. I'm not going to say damaging, but objectionable or questionable in terms of a career approach. And the analogy that I make for this is people don't dress on Saturday morning after they've had a few beers with friends or gone out dancing or had a good time on Friday night. They have a normal job. They go out and have a good time on Friday night. God bless you. That's wonderful. They don't dress on Saturday morning, waking up at 9 or 10 in the morning. They don't dress that Saturday morning the way they would dress going to work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. They don't. Okay. And the reason why is because people inherently understand there are different standards that apply to the workplace because you give up some of your individuality to be in a workplace that allows you to be part of a larger group that can get more done as a group than any of the individuals can get done individually. That's the nature of society. It's part of social graces. That's why some companies have very strict dress codes because they attract a certain type of customer and those customers expect people to be dressing a certain way. You may disagree with that. That's fine. But most people tend to dress differently. Some don't, but most do. That said, the moment you start saying it's private about a space that, about a page that anyone can view, you're essentially saying, I don't like the fact that there's a different dress code for public things as opposed to private things. And here's what I would say. It's totally okay to leave your MySpace page or your Facebook page the way you want it. It's totally fine. It is unreasonable of you, and that's probably too strong a word, but it's unreasonable of you to leave it that way, to understand the consequences, and then to have the consequences visited upon you and for you to be upset about it.
Right.
That to me is the thing. So here's the bottom line about what we mean on cleaning it up. We recommend seeing your personal page on a social networking site as the equivalent of a digital resume. It's available to anyone at any time. You should apply the same professional standards to your social networking page as you do to your resume, within the understanding that it is a social page and there can be fun things on it, but there should be professional standards applied to your page.
Because those folks who are looking at your resume are likely to see your MySpace page.
Yeah, exactly. I know what we're recommending can take a lot of the fun out of it. We respect that. And we're sorry that one of the unintended outcomes of the tone of the sites themselves being so casual and culturally hip and cool is that our recommendation will make you not fit in on Facebook and MySpace. Although you can, it will be you'll probably be perceived as less cool. We believe cleaning up your page is necessary. Because at least professionally, the benefits of using the sites to be seen by your friends, good reason, is outweighed professionally by the potential damage to your career of a site that in any way calls into question your judgment, your standards, your opinions. It's not private. Its fundamental purpose is public, and everything you say, everything you show, everything you share on these sites is fair game for someone to draw conclusions about you. If you privately in your home do things that are perhaps antisocial, that's fine. If you do them in the public square, people are going to draw conclusions, those people in the public square with you.
They call these things social networking sites for a reason. I mean, the whole point of them is to help others draw conclusions about
yeah,
us,
good,
right?
Good,
I mean,
yeah.
That's what we're doing is we're advertising us, the brand called me.
Good.
But I do know that some people are going to say, well, you can't see my page unless you're my friend. What they're going to say is, my way of cleaning it up is to privatize it.
Yeah, I think it's fair enough. And two thoughts on that. First, there's a stigma associated with that. If someone comes across your page and it's private, whether they just met you or they know your best friend well and they've gotten pinged about your page or whatever, they're going to assume, this is what we're told and this is what I've seen in my experience, and I've asked younger people who are on the sites about it, they're going to assume you have something to hide. We're sorry to say it, but that's what people tell us.
Yeah, repeatedly.
Yeah. So to put something up on a public, again, public, social, networking site, and then to make it private seems to fly in the face of the underlying intent of the site. We're not saying not to do it, but we want you to know there's a stigma associated with that. Further, we know that recruiters and managers tell us, and look, folks, don't shoot the messenger here.
No, if you're going to shoot the messenger, shoot that messenger. Not
yeah,
this messenger.
That would be me. I'll take, yeah, shoot me. The hero is the one. What's the difference between a pioneer and a settler? The pioneers are the ones with the arrows in their back.
Right.
Managers tell us, recruiters tell us, they assume the negative in those cases where the space is private. It's not a big negative, maybe, depending upon the situation, but it's a negative.
Right. Okay, so you said you had 2 points. That was the first, then the second one is what?
Yeah, this is my favorite one. This is so classic. Okay, you've got a private page. What if your boss asks to become your friend, to friend you on the page? What if you have a page, you've got a job, your boss suddenly decides he needs to be cooler than he was before, and he wants to, quote, get to know you?
Hey, yeah, there's the baby boomers are retiring.
Yeah.
There's plenty of jobs out there.
Getting
there's always
hip.
Another job.
Getting
so I guess
cool,
I say
man.
No.
I'm cool. Yeah. and if you have kids, you know what the response is to anyone who's that much younger than you that suddenly wants, you say you want to be cool to your kids. It's the most enormous eye roll on the planet. But anyway, suppose you've got your page, you've got it privatized, you've got a boss, and your boss suddenly decides he wants to hang out with you. Just, I'm sorry, I can't stop laughing. And he sets up his own page. Of course, now he's acting as if he can write code, right?
Right.
And then he wants to be your friend.
Wow.
You know.
Yeah, yeah, and really, you're going to let her see you drunk, even at Mardi Gras. I mean,
yeah,
you're going to let him see a picture of you and your 10 best friends and that whole world glassy-eyed with beers in your hands look?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so. In a way, this isn't fair because, you know what? Your boss did it too. Your boss got drunk at Mardi Gras, hung out with friends. But you know what? There's a difference. I alluded to this before. There's a difference between doing it and publicizing it. Say that again. There's a difference between doing it and then publicizing it. And there's a big difference today. No offense. It's a great, the world's much better place than it was 30 or 40 years ago. But there's a big difference today between digital cameras the size of a credit card and carrying around a 35 millimeter single lens reflex 30 years ago. Oh, folks, your boss did all the stuff you do that is objectionable. He's just glad it was before the digital revolution. And we'll talk more about bosses later.
The key point here is that you have a choice as to what you put on your MySpace page.
Yep.
So you have a choice. So we're suggesting simply just clean it up.
Yep. Go through your page. Assume your boss, your boss's boss, and every recruiter and the HR manager from your most favorite company that you'd ever want to go to work for in the whole world is going to see everything on your page.
And they will.
Yeah, they will. Assume it's a professional document, not a personal one, and it's certainly not a private one, and then just clean it up. If you don't want to, as we alluded to before, that's okay. Just respect the fact that you do so today at your own professional peril.
Good. Okay, so we made it seem like we think nothing but negative about MySpace. So there's a lot to like. So
there is.
What's there to like about it?
And we've talked about this before. A good page with details about you and your skills or job or interest or family or your location may very well get you a call from a recruiter. And we'll talk about that later too. There are many folks who love learning about your life without having to exchange emails with you or phone calls with you. I mean, that sounds bad the way I say that. They don't want to talk to you, but they want to know about you. What I mean is not that they don't want to talk to you, but rather it's easier for you and for them to update many without requiring multiple email replies. You can associate yourself with groups you feel strongly about. I can't imagine that the Netroots thing that's happened in the U.S. and politics in the last year or so hasn't benefited from Facebook and MySpace in terms of links to I know that they're raising a great deal of money through these connections. And I think that's a great thing to be able to benefit causes that you feel strongly about. That's one of the great things about living in a free society. Social networking sites make it much easier to learn at least a little bit about new friends and extend your network of friends and friends of friends, so to speak. Look, we know that there are more social sites than Facebook. I think Facebook is biggest internationally. Maybe not. I don't know, maybe not yet. But the plan. I think the trend is that way. MySpace, I think, is much bigger in the United States. I think it still is. I don't know. I think the two of them together make up like 90% of the U.S. market. I know Orkut is very big in South America. Several people from down there have referred me to their sites. But these are primarily social sites as opposed to professional sites. When it comes to professional sites, the three that come to mind are LinkedIn and Plaxo in the U.S. and Zing, and it's spelled X-I-N-G, in Europe. I don't think there's any question that LinkedIn is by far the biggest site that markets itself extensively and almost exclusively towards professionals. It is the only professional site that is, I think, in the top 10 in the U.S. I don't think any of the others, Plaxo or Zing, are even close. Although Zing, I know, is becoming the standard, or I think is becoming the standard in Europe.
And we assume, we don't have to say it, but just to be clear, you know, all the same rules apply to LinkedIn and other professional sites, as we talked about with MySpace and
right,
all those kind of things. It's a digital resume. You know, clean it up.
Right. Yeah. If you think of the resume as coming from the previous CV, you know, and letters of reference and so on, that's all it is. It's a digital representation of your life. It tends to be more personal, more social than professional, but it's still out there in the public space, in the public square. So it's easier to assume that people are going to stay professional on the professional sites simply because the entire approach of the sites is different. And let me take this opportunity. I don't know that we actually have talked about it, but we do recommend LinkedIn, right? I mean, we agree.
We
both have pages there. It's benefited us. I still struggle a little bit with connecting it to my way of our recommended way. And we do eat our own dog food here, folks. So we manage our contacts the way we recommend you do so. Sometimes I struggle a little bit with having a second system, LinkedIn. That's not saying 5 years LinkedIn won't be my system. I honestly don't know. We do recommend it, and we recommend Zing in Europe. Several people from our European efforts have asked us to become connected to them.
So let me interject here, and let me ask you the question I was going to get to later.
Okay.
I'm going to do it now.
Okay.
You talked about using these sites to eating our own dog food.
Right.
And when you and I talk about building one's network, we talk about building it in as broad and as deep as possible, indiscriminately building your network.
Yeah.
So let's go back to Facebook. And people come to my Facebook page and they make a judgment about me as a result of what they see. And in Facebook, what people see on my page is to some degree decided by the people in my network. And so if I indiscriminately build my network, am I doing myself a disservice? So for example, well, I have a relative, I'm sure several people will go out to my Facebook page and try to figure out who I'm talking about. But I have somebody who is probably a very distant relative of mine who is a friend of mine.
Right.
From early on, saw my name and said, hey, be my friend. So I accepted it. Now,
right.
This particular person has a lot of photos. And generally, all the photos are him. He's younger. He's in his, looks like me, his mid-20s, early 30 maybe.
Right.
And they're just, invariably, they're him and some very attractive women.
Okay.
Okay. Now, what do people, this person also happens to have the same last name as me. So do I suffer by having pictures associated with me that I don't necessarily think are terribly attractive on my Facebook page or accessible through my Facebook page?
Right. Okay. Never having set up a page myself, let me make sure I understand. You're saying these pictures are on your page?
It's easy to go from my page to his page and see those photos.
Ah. Yeah. Okay. That's a great question because it gets to, you know, you think about it in politics, the whole issue of, you know, let's not only examine the candidate, let's examine all the candidate's family and friends and distant friends and
right.
people he or she may have run into.
Do you judge me based upon the company I keep?
Yeah, exactly. And look, let's be clear. I think people can rail against it, but the history of human interactions since 100,000 years ago is that you will be judged by the company you keep, period. So I guess I would defer a little bit to have a little bit more understanding of how I might be able to control that. It may very well be that if you allow a person to be your friend, then they can, in fact, do that. I would say that it may be a place where digital networking, social networking sites are helping us evolve the rules by which we interact with one another in the public square. And so therefore, I would say my first take is, and this is something I want to think about and maybe blog on later, but my first take is this. I am not going to judge you unfairly based on connections to other people. Particularly, in fact, you suggest that the last name the same is bad. Actually, I think I disagree. I think that gives you a pass a little bit because you don't say no to a family member.
Right.
You know, clearly there could be familial ramifications of saying no to, you know, your brother's son or, you know, your nephew or something like that. So I do still believe in building the network indiscriminately. I also think that probably there's some distinctions between network and friends. And this is one of the places where, I think our recommended approach of maintaining your contacts privately and then being somewhat more discriminating since your network can become completely visible / transparent through the friends concept. I think some care is warranted. I think if you discover that, let's say a personal friend of yours that you're totally okay with their page is good to go. And then suddenly their page starts changing. You could say to them, hey, look, I'd love to remain your friend in the old fashioned sense of the word, but with modern technology, the way it is, your page is no longer safe for me. And so I'm uncomfortable right now. So I'm not making you not my friend because of I don't want to be friends with you. I'm making you not my friend because I can't have stuff like this on my page. Now, that presupposes a connection, a willingness. And I think there are people in the digital space who are indiscriminately trying to get friends, they're just building up their numbers.
Yeah.
And
to your point, that may be well understood, right? There are folks who are familiar with the space may be willing to give you quite a bit of
some leeway.
Of leeway there, given that part of the game, so to speak, is to get as many contacts as possible.
Yeah.
And that implies that there's not as much discrimination going on in terms of selection.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
I don't know. That was a broad answer. I probably could have been more incisive. I'm glad you brought it up, though.
I could have told you about it before the show to give you some
chance
to think
about it. No, that's good.
Good. Okay.
So it's a live show.
That's it, everyone. I'm sure we're going to have comments and discussions on the discussion forum, so feel free to join us there. www.managertools.com/forums. And we'll conclude this one next week. Until then, so long.